Okay, since Purim has come and gone and we all seem to have survived, I thought we would skip ahead a little bit to the second perek, which of course opens with a Purim-related Mishnah, but the Gemara, you'll see, quickly gets on to other topics as well. I mean, not that there's no point in learning Hilchot Purim after Purim. But,
going until next week.
We should be starting on Pesach already.
Yes, but we have to.
Someone was telling me the time that people buy the Megillot the most is the day after Purim.
Because they say, oh,
I should have. I want it for next year, so yeah. I'll buy it.
It's a good time to buy on eBay, like the cheap. Well, I think like post Halloween. If you're looking for a good Purim costume, probably the best day is the day after Halloween.
You can probably also get like all the cheap candy and just set it aside for next year. So the Mishnah says, we'll just go through this quickly. We're on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Hakoriyat Megillah Lemafreya Lo Yatsa. If you read the Megillah back, you'd have to be really drunk, I guess. But if you read the Megillah backwards, you're not Yotze. Now, what does it mean to read the Megillah backwards?
Prakim backwards.
Ah, so
in other words, backwards,
not the words themselves.
In theory, you could read it back. You play it backwards, and you find that I buried Paul. Presumably, it means that you're reading the prakim
but in order.
Out of order. You're reading the prakim out of order. So you're not yotze. Kara'a al peh. If you read it bal peh, what does it mean to read something bal peh? To recite it bal peh, not reading from the Megillah. You're reading it by heart. Kara'a targum. Or if you read it in translation. Bechol lashon, or in any other language, betargum means
translation
of
Aramaic, meaning some kind of authoritative translation. Or if you read it in any other language, lo yatsa. Aval korino tale lo azot belaz. But you can read it in a foreign language to speakers of that foreign language. The Gemara will try to explain what that means. V'haloes shashama asherit yotza. What's asherit?
The Hebrew?
Which language?
Hebrew. Right?
It's Hebrew. Asherit is the nickname for Hebrew. Why is Hebrew called asherit?
Because of the
letters. Because letters that you're looking at are called the Ketav Ashurit. Ashurit. Which probably comes from meaning what? Ashurit probably means
from Ashur.
From Ashur, Assyrian. But the Bali Asod say it means Miloshon Yashar. That it's the
straight.
The Ketav Yashar, the straight path to Dvar Hashem.
I like the Rambam's approach.
Which is?
Means like happy.
Oh, like from Ashrei.
In the sense that, I think he said, and he talks about Arabic, can't be Ashurit because it's very difficult to read Arabic because it runs together. Whereas Ashurit, each letter is separate.
Oh.
Easier to read is more pleasant.
Okay.
You
want
to die?
After Purim. It's a Tuesday.
Kara Serugin. If you read it discontinuously, you read a perek, and then you pause, and then you read another perek, and then you pause. Or mitnamnim. On Purim? Before, while I create a Megillah? What's mitnamnim? You're dremeling as you're reading it. Presumably, you're not the one reading; you're listening. Although it could be the Baal Kori himself.
I've been reading also. It happens to me all the time.
So Baruch Hashem, you're yotze. If you're mitnamnim, the Gemara will of course have to qualify. What is the definition of nimnum? Haya kutva dorsha umagia. If you were writing a Megillah. Or you were darshaning the Megillah, meaning you're reading the Megillah and you're explaining it. You're saying a drasha. Or you're magia, proofreading a Megillah, And presumably, while you're doing these things, you're actually reciting the words of the Megillah. Im kiven libo yatsa. If while you were doing this, you had intent to simultaneously fulfill the obligation of reading the Megillah, you'd be yotze.
The drashat, the shad is the strange one, because you could write it or proofread it without interrupting with other words, but presumably if you're doing a drashat, you're also interrupting it with other things as well.
Yeah, so even though we always say, you know, you can't interrupt in the middle of the Megillah, and you can't talk in the middle of the Megillah, and etc., apparently, b'di'eved, according to the Mishnah, you can. Obviously, this is not l'chatchila.
Where the Mishnah?
But this idea.
Menam name is you're dremeling, you're falling asleep.
Isn't it stuttering?
Oh, okay. What?
Is it stuttering?
Megam game is stuttering. Nam name is to nap. Numi numi. But so this idea of kavona. You know, this is one of the sugyot of mitzvot tzrichot kavana, mitzvot enan tzrichot kavana. What does it mean to have kavana? So we'll come back to that. Ve'im lav lo yotze. Hayta ktuva besam, besikra, bekumus, bekankantum. All different types of materials on which you write, or on which you write. Al niyar ve'al diftara lo yotze. The Gemara, of course, will explain what each of these things are. Ad shetehe ktuva ashurit al hasefer uvedio. What's a sefer? A klav. And dio is the kind of ink that we use for a sefer Torah. Right? One of the characteristics of which is that it's ink and the color doesn't change. And
so if you did it on your laser printer, it wouldn't count.
Yeah. You know, there's a Shaila now. There's a certain figure in Lakewood who does these silkscreen sefer Torahs. You know how a silkscreen works.
You couldn't tell. You can't tell that it's done by silkscreen.
Adirab, it looks nice. A silkscreen is a type of printing where you take a
mesh.
You take a mesh, a very, very fine, made out of silk, very fine mesh that's held in a frame like this, very tight on a frame. And it's covered with a kind of thin sheet of plastic now they can print it with lasers. When I was a kid in high school and we had print shop, you would take a razor blade and you would carve out whatever image you wanted. And whatever you had carved out, it's like a stencil. And then you put it down on top of a t-shirt, you know, if you want to do it. And then you put the ink. And you smear the ink, and the ink goes through the stencil, through the holes where you've exposed it, and you lift it up, and that's silkscreen printing. So you could do the same thing with a Sefer Torah. You can print a Sefer Torah this way, using klaf and using the dio of a Sefer Torah. So this Rav Abadi from Lakewood, he says it's a hidur mitzvah, because each letter is perfect. Right, each letter is exactly the way it's supposed to look, and it's shaped. You know, sometimes you look at Sifrei Torah, you can see some Sifrei Torah are beautiful, but a lot of them, particularly where it had to be repaired or things like that, you could see sometimes the sofer had, you know, kind of painted himself into a corner, and he had to
letters or stretched out.
Yeah,
letters. And this has been accepted.
It has not been widely accepted, but it has.
In theory, you could make a large number of Sifrei Torah.
And also, mezuzot is a different problem. Mezuzot is a different problem for a technical halachot of how mezuzot have to be written. But a Sefer Torah, you can do it, and it saves a lot of money because it cuts down on the time by a tremendous amount of. So when it says that until the Megillah is written in Ashurit, you're not Yotze, it's not kosher. But a second ago we said, what? No, it has to be written in Ashur, meaning in Hebrew characters. But it could be a Lo'ez Lalaz. So how can you read it in a foreign language if it's written in Ashurit?
Translate on the flag.
No, that's not what it means. Hakore lelo ezit belaz. That it could be, according to many Rishonim, could be that when you read the Megillah in Latin, in Greek, in English, You can read it in any of those languages to somebody who understands those languages, but it has to be written, transliterated in Hebrew characters.
Like Yiddish. So,
not like Yiddish, it's its own language.
Transliteration of Hebrew into English, in this case, would be...
You would say, Queen Esther. Kuf, Vav, Yud, Yud, Nun Sofit, Queen Esther. Esther would be spelled the same way. Right? Esther. Okay. I mean, that's a different question of how do you translate proper nouns. So the idea that, in other words, even when it's written in a foreign language, it has to be written in Hebrew characters. Now the Gemara asks, Minahani Mili. Which Mili? So what are the points in the Mishnah? So what do you do? No, you don't have to work so hard. Look at Rashi. Minahani Mili de la Mafreya lo Yotza. How do you know what's the source for the idea that if you read the Mishnah, you read the Megillah out of order, you're not Yotze? So Omar Rava de Omar Kro Kichtavam Uchizmanam. Chapter 9, verse 27. Mazmanam le Mafreya lo Avchtavam le Mafreya lo. In other words, this idea that the Megillah is Kichtavam Uchizmanam. So just as time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future and cannot flow backwards, so too, the Megillah can't flow backwards and it has to be read from beginning to end. So Mide Kriya Chtiva Hocha. Beseder, so what does Kichtavam Chizmanam teach you?
Have they heard you read it?
Yeah, but that's not what it says. No, but what is it? It's kizmanam. Zman teaches you forward to backward. No, kichtavam means it has to be written forward to backward.
One time, one go.
No, no, no. In other words, it doesn't say kichtavam. Kikriatam kizmanam. You have to, just like time moves front to back, so too the reading has to move from the first pasuk until the last pasuk.
If I only need to write it that way, why do I need to read it that way too?
That's exactly the Gemara's question. Right? In other words, why do you learn out from Kichtavam v'chizmanam that just as time moves in one direction, the reading moves in one direction, when that's not what the pasuk says? The pasuk says the writing. Okay, it's a beseder. So then I understand the Megillah has to be written according to the proper order. That if I wrote a Megillah and I wrote by accident, the sofer by accident wrote Perek Gimel before Perek Bet, the Megillah would be pasuk. But what if I have a Kosher Megillah that's written Perek 1, 2, 3, etc. until 10, but I read it, I jump around.
Well, you can't.
Why?
I'll jump
from here to there. That's and I'll jump back.
No, but Balpeh, I think, well, you can say you're indicating, you're supposed to read it as if it as appears in the movie.
No. Balpeh means I get up and I say, Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, Achashverosh. Could you lay in the Megillah Balpeh? If we forced you to lay in the Megillah Balpeh, which is also to do, if we forced you to read the Megillah Balpeh, how much of it would you get?
With some help, I could get through most of it.
Okay. So the Baal Peh means to read it by heart, right? But to read it, and it's good. I have the whole Kosher Megillah in front of me. I read Perek Aleph, then I read Perek Gimel, then I jump back to Perek Bet, then I jump back to Perek Hey, then I jump back to Perek Dalet. That's right. Or I go to Perek Yud and I read the whole thing backwards. So Kichtavam Kizmanam Mide Kriya Ktivacha. Why are you bringing this pasuk to teach you a law about the order in which you read the Megillah when the pasuk itself is talking about the the writing of the Megillah? Asiya Ktiva. Action, doing, the writing. The word Ktiva, Kichtavam v'chizmanam, is a kind of code word. Is a kind of code word. Like we saw this in the first perek about the idea of Zechira and Asiya.
right?
So the way that you do it, it means that just like you write it beginning to end, the story unfolds from beginning to end, you can't read it out of order. You can't read it backwards.
You read it the way it's written.
Yeah. Dichtiv liot osim et shnei hayamim. Right? That you have to do it the 2 days. The 2 days of Purim. Right? And just like the 2 days don't come out of order, so too the doing of the reading doesn't come out of order. Or maybe it's from a different source. These days, the days of Purim, in future years, should be remembered and be done. From this we learned earlier, Nizkarim v'nasim, Nizkarim is which din? The Megillah, the Kriyat HaMegillah. Why is Kriyat HaMegillah nicknamed Zechira? No. Well, because of the same idea, it's connected to Zechirat HaMalek. And just like Zechirat HaMalek comes from reading a text from the Sefer Torah, and so too reading the Megillah from the written text. So Zechira, the reading of the Megillah, is like Asiya. And just like Asiya, when you do something, you do it only from beginning to end. So too, the Megillah. So itkish zechira l'asiya. We connect the idea of the reading of the Megillah, the zechira, to the performance of the days. And just like the 14th always comes before the 15th, so the beginning of the Megillah should always come before the end of the Megillah. Ma asiya l'mafreya lo, af zechira l'mafreya lo. Just like you can't do the 15th before the 14th, so too you can't read Perek Hey before Perek Gimel. So Tana. This is a Tosefta that's connected to the Mishnah. V'chein b'Halel, v'chein b'Kriyat Shema, u'v'Tfila. And just like you can't read the Megillah out of order, neither can you do Halel out of order, or Kriyat Shema out of order, or the Amida. Tfila. Tfila always means...
What does it mean to do the 15th before the 14th?
No, in other words, it's not you can't. In other words, just like it's impossible for the 15th to come before the 14th, it's impossible for Perek Hay to come before Perek Gimel. Right? It's an impossibility. You can't do it. So Halel Menalan. Well, how do you know that you can't do Halel out of order? Rabba Omar Dichtiv Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo. It brings a whole variety of psukim. Each of the Amoraim brings a posuk from Tehillim itself to show that time unfolds in one direction. So Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo. Rashi says Kishem Sheshkiat Uzrichat Achama Lo Yehafchu Kach Muhulal Shem Hashem Velo Limafreya. Just like the rising of the sun precedes the setting of the sun, which precedes another rising of the sun, and so on and so forth. So too, the praise of Hashem follows a certain order, and it can't be reversed. Okay. Rav Yosef Amar, Ze hayom asa Hashem. Rashi says, Keseder hayom, she'eno mishtaneh, b'sheotav lehefech, kach lemafrelo. Zehayom, just like the days, you know, morning and afternoon and evening. These are all, I guess, time indicators. The time moves in one direction, so too Halel moves in one direction.
Yeah, but how? But is the implication in the Gila, there's a sort of obvious direction because it's a story that goes from A to Z.
Uh-huh.
Where is the story? I mean, you find the story in Halel. Where's the story? Where's the progression? It's actually where's the logical progression?
As a side note, I mean, I don't think they're looking for a story. If you're looking for the story in Hollow, there's a fascinating shiur by David Foreman talking about actually how the Hollow lines up with the Sefer Devarim and the end of Moshe's life. It's absolutely fascinating.
Okay.
I don't think they're looking for a story, but if you're looking for a story.
Look, the idea that the Mizmorim, both in Hallel and in general, in Psukei the Zimra, follow a kind of thematic progression.
I understand. And if there is a thematic progression, then I understand.
No, but even if there is no thematic progression, the fact that the 150 Prakim of Tehillim were canonized in that order, and that we take five of them and make them Sukkah the Zimra.
Those five are in an order that is parallel to the order that they're found in Sukkah the Zimra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, we're in Hallel also?
Yeah.
I wonder actually if any of these things were dealing with a time when they're trying to reinforce the status of the canonization. In other words, who knows? Maybe there are different traditions and they're saying, no, this is the way it has to be because we know this is the way it is.
Maybe. But Kriya Shema, for example, which is not recited in the order in which the parashiyot appear in the Torah, but according to, we've all learned the Gemara in Brachos, there's a kind of there it is a thematic progression from the first to the second to the third parasha. So that was the matbea shel tefillah. That was how Chazal were metaken what Kriya Shema is. And you can't do it.
That reason I can understand. That's the order. So it doesn't have to be.
So Hallel, we took these five mizmorim, we cut a.
No, that
cut a slice of Tehillim, and that's the order you have to eat it in. I mean, these are all clearly asmachta, whatever these psukim are. That we don't know. That's an interesting question. There's no evidence that they were written. I presume not. Actually, I don't know. They don't relate. The biographical prakim of Tehillim that relate to events in his own life, I don't think they're necessarily presented in order. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't write them in order.
He wrote them in a certain order, that I understand. But if it's not in chronological order, then
I can write a story. And in the first chapter takes place today. It's set in our time. The second chapter, in order to give you some background, I tell you a story from when I was a small child. And then the third chapter comes back to the present time. Now, I wrote them in chronological order, meaning I'm presenting the chapters in the order that I wrote them, but they don't tell the story in chronological order. Right? So the question of how... But I don't know that we have any definitive psak or determination that the Tehillim, as they were canonized, as they were set in the order that they're in, were the order in which he wrote them. And I presume that we don't need to assume that that was the case. Nor, by the way, do I think we have to assume that's the case for any of the other Kisvei Kodesh. We don't have to assume that Yeshayahu wrote Sefer Yeshayahu in the order that we have it now. Or that any of certainly the historical books were written in that order. And Adrabah, even the Torah itself, we have a principle. Rashi holds Ein Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah, that the order of things in the Torah, the order of stories in the Torah, are not necessarily chronological. And the Ramban who disagrees, the Ramban says Yesh Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah, that the stories in the Torah are in chronological order. But even the Ramban has to agree only when evidence doesn't tell us to the contrary. Because, let's say, the beginning of in Bamidbar, the chronology, there are things where it tells you the date that things happened. So if it tells you the date that it happened, and then it tells you in the next parasha the date that something else happened, and that date came before... So even the Ramban admits, Pesach Sheni and other things, even the Ramban admits that Ein Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah, when the Torah itself admits that it's not telling you the story in the sequence that it happened. But absent that evidence, the Ramban holds Yesh Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah, and Rashi says Bechlal no, right? Ein Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah. So I don't think you have to believe that about Tehillim. So we don't know. But whatever degree, whether it was written chronologically or not written chronologically, the form that Tehillim was set in when it became canonized. Canonized means when it became part of Kitvei HaKodesh, when it became part of Tanakh. So once Chazal said, this is, you want to say Hallel, these are the Pitlach you say for Hallel, so they have to be said in order. Either because of this Pasuk or that Pasuk, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak V'itemer Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Mehocha Me'ata V'ar Olam Me'achshav Ad Sof Hayom, right? All of these psukim indicate the things going on. Okay, so whichever one it is, lo mishane. There's no psak halacha on this matter. Kriya Shema. How do you know Kriya Shema has to be said in order? Ditanya. Kriya Shema kichtava. Divrei Rebbe. V'chachamim omrim bechol lashon. Kriya Shema, Rebbe says, has to be recited the way it was written, meaning Belashon HaKodesh velo Belashon Acher, says Rashi. V'chachamim omrin b'chol lashon. V'chachamim say, no, Kriya Shema can be recited in any language. My Taima, the Rebbe, why does Rebbe say that Kriya Shema can be recited only in Lashon HaKodesh? Why is Lashon HaKodesh called Lashon HaKodesh?
Instead of
Ivrit, yeah, so instead of... Yes. No, you know, well, there's a famous machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban.
Oh, whether Aramaic or...
You know this because you once came to a lecture I gave on the topic.
The Rambam and the Ramban?
Well, Maimonides and Nachmanides.
Okay, you're saying what makes it kadosh? Not yeah. Why did they come with a title?
Yes.
What makes it kadosh? That I know. The Rambam says it's because it doesn't have any
naughty words,
or you know, and the Ramban, I would say it's because of the, and probably related also, but it's inherently kadosh about the God created the world.
The language with which God created the world, right? The Rambam, ever the rationalist, says that Hebrew is the Lashon HaKodesh. Because it's a holy language. It doesn't have any naughty words. Any naughty words in Hebrew have to be imported from far languages. And the Ramban has a mystical interpretation.
By the way, same approach applies also to Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
The Ramban says what's kosher about Eretz Yisrael, and Ramban also says something spiritual.
So my time at the Rebbe. Why did Rebbe say that it has the Kriya Shema has to be recited in Lashon HaKodesh? Omar Kro Vehayu. Maze Vahayu. Vahayu Hadvarim Ho'el. These words, these things, they should be. How should they be? They should be the way they're written in the Torah. Vahayu Bahavayatan Yehu. The way they are is the way they should be. V'rabanan, my time, Omar Kro Shema. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says Shema. Bechol lashon shatash shomea. In any language that you can hear the Shema, that's a language you could say the Shema in. V'rabbi namis. Now the Gemara does one of these. Oh yeah, says you, says me. Right? If Rebbe said this, wasn't he also aware of that? So why didn't he say that? And if he said that, why didn't he say this? So Rebbe nami, haktiv Shema. So how does Rebbe interpret the word Shema, which the Chachamim used to say b'chol lashon? Hahu meboyele, hishama loznecha, ma shata motzi mipicha. So Rebbe says, no, the word Shema is there to teach you that when you say Kriyat Shema, it has to be, you know, audible in a whisper to your own ears. It's not enough. I mean, it's certainly not enough to pray in your heart, right? You have to, the words have to come out of your mouth, meaning you have to move your lips. Where do we learn that from?
For Tefillah from Chana.
Right? Which is interesting. Why? Chana goes to Eli to daven.
Yeah, she does the opposite, and she gets what she pays for.
Right, in other words, and she's there davening, and they think that she's
drunk. She's not,
right. But from that, we learned the halacha that when you daven, you have to move your lips. The words have to come out of your mouth. It's interesting that...
Do you have to actually say the words, or you just have to lip the words?
No, so in other words, you have to ideally recite the words. There has to be some hevel that comes out of your...
Because do we know the reason for that?
Oh, in other words, the reason is, of course, we learn it from Chana.
Right.
Why? Because there's a difference. Because in other words, all mitzvot, there are a lot of mitzvot of recitation. Right? And recitation means to speak them, right? That there's a difference between thinking something, hirhur, and dibur. And prayer is dibur. It's not some kind of like silent meditation.
But can you say it, but you know, moving your lips, but you know, you're thinking the word, but not
we'll see. L'chatchila, some sound has to come out of your mouth. Now there's a problem. Like, you don't want to be too loud. You don't want to bother the people. It has to be like a very, 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 very subtle whisper. L'chatchila, for all the tefillot, you should say them out loud. For brachot, you know, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you say a bracha, you should always say the bracha out loud. Like, even if you're by yourself, you should say it out loud. So that you can hear it.
So what's loud for you to hear, or loud for the whole group to hear?
I don't know. Like, we went to Mincha yesterday. We were in Yerushalayim. So I went to my mother-in-law for Suda, even though it wasn't our Purim. So I went to the Gro to daven, you know, in Shaar Tzedek. I went to the Gro to daven Mincha. I mean, I wasn't saying Al Anisim, so I didn't daven for the Amud. But I should have daven for the Amud. I was the only person that could stand up straight. But so there was one guy davening. It was like later, like I guess they did, you know, like the halach is you should have your mincha before your suda precisely because of that. But it was late in the day. Everybody must have come from a suda, and this is one guy who's davening the Shemon Esrei, and he was like screaming it out loud, and like somebody else was like telling the shush, and he's shushing him, and he knocks over, and it's really. I don't know what I was doing there. I wasn't Yotze anything. But
so there's a minion in Malchan, the Gan Malogi. So it's mostly people who came from outside of Yerushalayim. Shaliach Tzibur in Chazanashat didn't say Al Anisim. So I tried to correct him. I don't know if he didn't hear me or if he was ignoring
You thought he forgot.
No, I thought that he should say it anyway. Oh. I mean, if you're davening for the Amud,
In Yerushalayim.
Yeah. If you're in Yerushalayim, I'm just confirmed davening for the Amud.
There
was at least one person with like a hat and a kid in a costume that I assume were keeping.
I wouldn't think so.
Anyway, but really?
I wouldn't think so. So, it's possible that he shouldn't have davened for the Amud if he couldn't recite
that would make more sense.
But I'm not sure. Anyway, the point is that when you say brachot, you should say them out. You should say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Agofen Shakol Niyah Bizbro Borei Pri Oed. So that, because that is an aid to Kavana. That is an aid to Kavana. There's a problem with particularly with the Amidah. The Amidah, that you can't bother the people, and it is meant to be somehow somewhat. You know, we say in Yiddish it's called the Stille Shmon Esrei, the silent Shmon Esrei, but it's not completely silent. Okay, so wait, so where was it? Rabbanan? So what does Rabbi do with Shema? Zachamim say Shema teaches you in any lashon. Rabbi says no, Shema teaches you. You should hear the words. Rabbanan Savri, Commander Omar HaKoreyat Shema V'lo Hishmiya Lozno Yotza. But the Chachamim say, it's true, you should say the Shema so that you can minimally hear it for yourself, but that's only L'chatchila. B'dieved, you're Yotze. So therefore they don't need a posuk. Rabbanan Nami, Hichtiv V'hayu. So now flip the coin. Rabbi says, how do you know that the Shema has to be said only in Ivrit? In the Pasuk, Vahayu. Vahayu, Vahavayatan Yu. It should be the way it's written. So what did the Chachamim do with Vahayu? Vahayu, Hahu Mibayale. They need that for something else. Shalo Yikralim Afreya. Vahayu, and it should be?
In the order that it
in was. The order that it was. Right? You see Rashi? Shelo yikra lemafreya, alma kriyat shma lemafreya, lo. Umehacha yalif, tana del ailtam. Right? And that's the reason, according to that Tana, that you can't read Shema out of the order that Chazal set. V'Rabbi shelo yikra lemafreya menalan. So how does Rabbi know that you can't read Kriya Shema out of order if he uses that posik to teach you that it has to be said in Hebrew? Mit dvarim hadvarim. Vayu teaches you what according to Rabbi?
Hebrew.
Hadvarim. Hadvarim.
These things in this order.
This order. What, but what's the point of hadvarim?
Because it could have said dvarim.
What?
Because it could have said dvarim.
It could have said dvarim. Vayu dvarim ele. But it doesn't. Hadvarim. These things meaning in the specific order. V'rabanan. So what do the Rabbanan do with the pasuk of hadvarim? Rabbanan, dvarim, hadvarim, lo mashmalei. They don't make that diuk. They don't make a big deal between dvarim and hadvarim. So you see how each one can defend its position, right, and explain all of the different drashot, or dismiss the drashot in order to get to their position. So let's look at the halacha here. Oh, there's a few. There's plenty. Yeah. No.
One down here.
How many more do you need down there?
One.
Perfect.
Just so here's the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, "Yachol lekrota kriya." We're talking about Kriya Shema. Yachol lekrota bechol lashon, like whose shita? The Chacham.
The
Yizahir midivrei shibush sheba oto lashon. The yedaktek bo kimo ba lashon hakodesh. So when you say, when you daven, look, when I started davening, when I was in ninth grade, my rabbi, Zichrono Levracha, gave me the Birnbaum Siddur, which I still have. It used to be like a pocket edition of this. This is before the art scroll. There was a, you know,
a weekday.
What?
It was a weekday pocket.
There was a weekday.
The pocket was a weekday.
No, it was the same as the regular sitter. Blue sitter. Just it was a, you know, smaller, in a smaller size. It was more or less the size of a, you know, the small art scroll sitter. What?
The purple was the mazorim. Maroon.
The maroon. Yeah, the weekday sitter was a kind of a sky blue, a tchelet, and this was brown. It was the Hasidur Hashalem. Paltiel Birnbaum. And I couldn't really read Hebrew properly, but I davened every day in English. And there was a time when I knew the whole Amidah b'Tirgumo shel Birnbaum Balpe.
Wow.
I could daven the whole Amidah Balpe in English. Blessed art thou, Lord, God of our fathers, right? Our God, God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, etc., etc. But
only a few years later, going to take that American Orthodoxy. It's amazing.
And now I've destroyed American Orthodoxy. I feel bad about that.
That was amazing.
What did I miss?
It was an article.
See, you know what you missed by not being on Facebook?
This you missed.
We're coming
here.
Coming, yeah.
Someone can explain.
American Orthodoxy has been greatly weakened by the fact that it's in its prime leaders and rabbis and thinkers made out of.
I didn't say anything about prime leaders and rabbi things because Jeff Sachs and a bunch of other people that used to hang out in his apartment came on Aliyah 20 years ago.
You forgot the Rahman al-Islam.
It was a fantastic article.
No, it wasn't Rahman al-Islam. He wasn't. He was right. He lives here.
Right. That's true, he lives here, right? He wasn't saying these people go to bed.
Anyway, so when you say Kriya Shema in English, you have to be careful that the English that you're reading is a kind of proper translation. You know, like today you can get, you know, like when you do go into Google Translate, you can translate. I don't know, like what, you know, like what algorithms they're using to do the translation or how it works. But it works better than it doesn't. But if you were to take, if you were cut and paste the Hebrew Kriya Shema into Google Docs, into Google Translate, and it punched out something.
If you want entertainment, I've done this once with the opening parak of Devar Yamim, because the one thing Google Translate can't do is distinguish between words and names. So it doesn't know if, you know, every, practically, it's just the whole first paragraph of Devar Yamim is names, but it keeps trying to translate them as sentences, and it makes
a new hobby.
Fantastic. I'm telling you, go home and try it, look it up, it's very entertaining. Just try it.
You go home, you say, honey! I got some plans. Let's translate Divrei Yomim in Google Translate.
We should
anyway,
all be
zocheh
The point is that you
punch it. That's not the kind of translation you could use to be yotze Kriya Shema in English or in any other language. I mean, now Bechlal, you can translate it into, what do they have? You can translate it into Elmer Fudd. And into simple English, you know, where they
English.
No, they have simple English where it's like on a whatever it is, a third grade reading level or something like that.
I think so, they had Ivanic at one point, didn't they?
They have everything. So what happens if you take the first paragraph of Kriya Shema, translate it into English, and then take that text and try to translate it back into Hebrew? Do you get the original?
You can actually, there are actually websites that'll do 8 loops if you put in a text. You try to guess what it was.
At the end, you
can like go from English to German to French to whatever. And then
you won't get the same thing.
I buried Paul.
I wanted to get anything.
So when you daven in a foreign language, the Shulchan Aruch says it has to be done properly. It has to be a proper translation, and you have to read it with the same dikduk that we should. Asterisk that we should do for all of us who actually do say Kriya Shema in Hebrew. When you say Kriya Shema in Hebrew, you have to say it carefully, to say it slowly. You know, like in some of the better Sidurim, besides the fact that you have to be careful to differentiate between the Kamatz Gadol and the Kamatz Katan, and they put a stop, particularly words that would. Well, if you can lane it with the Ta'amim, that's preferable. But if you can't lane it with the Ta'amim, you at least have to be precise. Right. In other words, if two words that naturally run together, like Asher Anochi, you could say it could be Asher Ranochi, right? Right. So sometimes in the Siddur, in the art school, they have a vertical line to show you that you have to be careful to separate these. So the same dikduk that we ought to have when we read in Hebrew, you also ought to have in whatever other language.
It's interesting what you mentioned. I think it's the Sadhu Kasir, or is it the Belt? No, I think it's a Samhita. You have the minute that they try to daven as fast as possible, but this way you won't lose your train of thought.
But even if you're davening as fast as possible so as to maintain your kavana, you have to daven with a certain amount of precision.
You could say the same thing about Hasidut Kavulim. It doesn't really help the train of thought.
The Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, "Sarich lahashmiel leozno masher motzi bepiv." So we paskin like the Chacham, right? That you have to make audible to your ears what comes out of your mouth. Ve'imlo hishmiel leozno yotza ubilvad shiotzi besfatav. So minimally, you do have to move your lips. It's not enough to think the words in your heart. L'chadchila, you have to move your lips and have audible sound come out. But if only it's moving your lips, so you don't say b'di'evit.
Would I be wrong? I think it means it sounds a little different. Lashmir la'oznav would be you actually have to hear what you're saying. Yeah. While the b'di'evit is when if you're saying something, but it's not loud enough for you, even for you yourself, to hear it.
How do you do that?
You're saying it in a public place where it's very loud to hear. That you could do in a place like that.
Maybe. Well, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Shavuot says v'dafka shemevi. So bechol lashon that you can say Krishna in any language. V'dafka shemevin bo'to lashon. In other words, you can't recite it in Portuguese unless you happen to be a speaker of Portuguese.
Can you recite in Hebrew if you don't understand Hebrew?
V'hu adin b'tfila u'virchat hamazon b'kiddush u'birkat hamitzvot v'aperot v'halel v'kol ze mitzad hadin aval le'mitzvah min ha'mufchar hu dafka b'lashon ha'kodesh. But all of reciting in any foreign language is b'dievin. Ideally, min ha'mufchar, one should daven and say brachot and say shema and everything in lashon hakodesh. V'chein katav.
There's no talking about saying it aloud.
No. This is the first din about reciting it in foreign language. V'chein katav habach b'simin kuv tzadikim v'ayin b'sifrei ha'achronim v'dibiyameinu af mitzad hadin yesh li zaher shelo lekrota b'lashon acher ki im b'lashon hakodesh. But nowadays, really, even technically, you shouldn't say it in any other language. Ki yesh kama v'chama tevot she'ein anu yodin eich la'atikam heitev. Because there's all types of words that we simply don't know how to precisely translate. Kigon tevat vishinantam. What does vishinantam mean? How do we translate Vishinantam? To teach. But teach, in other words, this is imprecise. This is one of those examples where you have one word which has a certain cultural resonance in one language, which can't be captured in another language. Yeshbo kama biurim. Vishinantam has, it's a multi-sided, what's the drush on Vishinantam?
About teaching, hiring teachers.
Right? No. In other words, Rashi says on Vishinantam is milashon shein. That when you teach your kids, it should have the sharpness of a tooth. Right, you should teach them as sharply as a tooth. It's a kind of metaphor that can't be, or just like when you talk, your teeth chop the words, right? There should be that kind of precision, so that if somebody asks you a question, you should be able to spit it right out. Right? That's what shinun is. By the way, kids that do shinun in school, where they're being trained to the drill of reading with precision. Right? So vishinantam can mean also this idea that if somebody asks you, you can answer without gimgum. Right. So how do you translate that as teach? Teach, the English word teach, or the Yiddish word lernen, don't capture the full ray of meanings of Vishnantam.
Probably why some of the English translations say teach diligently.
Teach diligently, okay. But then there's a problem because you haven't translated, you've interpreted.
Right.
Right? In other words, teach is the word that is the closest translation. Diligently is already an interpretation. Yesh bo kama biurim, echad lashon limud, ve'echad lashon chidud, kemo shemarnu chazal. Sheyehei divrei Torah mechudin b'ficha. Right? That's what Rashi quotes. She'im yishalucha adam davar al tigamgem v'tomar lo. Right? That's the Rashi that I just quoted. Right, so how do you, all those three lines, which is what Rashi says Vishinanta means, how do you pack all of that into a translation? So when you read Shema in English and you say, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, so you're missing something. V'chein kama v'chama tevot she b'kriyat Shema she'ein anu yodim heitev biuro Alashon acher kigon tevat et. Right? There's a word bechal we don't translate. The word et. Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. How do you translate that? You don't. It doesn't have a place. Or the word totafot. Beinei necha. How do you translate totafot?
Phylacteries.
Now you know what the Ramban says about totafot. If you don't know what the Ramban says about totafot, you should go home and read it. And you should cry that you didn't know what the Ramban said about totafot. But among the things that the Ramban tells us about totafot is that we don't really know what the word means. Right? What does phylacteries mean? Like, to translate totafot as phylacteries is to take one word we don't know what it means and translate it with another word we don't mean. What does phylactery mean? It's an outdated French. It's not old French, the old French of Rashi. It's a no longer current French word. I learned this from my friend Shai Charka, the illustrator, that in pre-modern French, a phylactery was in a comic strip. You know the thought bubble, right? That's a phylactery. Why? How is that like tefillin?
It comes out of the head.
No.
Because it's around. Has rat writing in it.
Because it's a box which contains text, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the meaning of phylactery. I mean, in no French. If you would ask, go up to Emmanuel, ask him what's phylactery, he wouldn't know it. It's not a word that is used in contemporary French.
Say,
no, so that's about totafot. Yeah. Right.
Translations, they use
that it should be for you a sign between your eyes.
Frontlets
between your eyes. Yeah, because that's oat. See, oat does translate a little more closely as. אבל כשאנו קוראים שמה בלשון הקודש וכן בתפילה ברכת המזון וקידוש ושאר ברכות אפילו אם אינו מבין הלשון יצא. But when you read in Hebrew, even if you don't understand what you're saying, so you yotze. Baruch Hashem. Right? ותזה אינו מצוי שבן ישראל לא ידע ביור הפסוק ראשון שבקריאת שמה. But everybody, every little Yingler knows how to teach Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why is it important to be able to translate Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? She'akavana bo li'ikuva. How much kavana do you need to be yotze Kriya Shema? No, you need everything. But you can live if you know the first pasuk, right? And what does kavana mean? So there's Tzvei Dinim, Reb Chaim taught us, there's Tzvei Dinim Kavana. One is to Mamish Gevalt, the Holy of Holies, you know that you're standing before Kadosh Baruch Hu. The other is to understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. Right? So Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so every Jew knows the meaning of that, of those words. There's no hard words in that, there are hard concepts. But there are no hard words in that passage. No, we don't know. We can line up each one of those words, right, and understand its meaning. So you read in Hebrew, even if you don't understand the rest, if you know what Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is, so you're yotze, right? So that's why, even though Mikra Adin, you're allowed to daven in a foreign language, it's better to daven in Hebrew, even if you don't fully understand. A little bit you need to understand. We have 2 minutes. So the second halacha that you have to make the Shema audible to you, tzarech lashmil ozno mashmotzi misviv b'midrabanan. V'dat harayvet huva b'chidush erashba duhu midiraisa. Right? So there's a minority opinion that the obligation to say Shema out loud is min haTorah, that it's definitional to the mitzvah. It's not an added on rabbinic obligation. Now it could be that it's dioraisa, and it's still a little chatchila, right?
Dioraisa and
that Kriya Shema is dioraisa, and dioraisa you have to say Kriya Shema out loud. But if you dioraisa, you said Kriya Shema, not saying it out loud, you could still be yotze. The fact that something's dioraisa doesn't mean that it's not that b'dieved means because it's only derabbanan. The Rambam, for example, holds. Forget for a second the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban about how much of tefillah is dioraisa. The Rambam holds that prayer, daily prayer at least, is d'oraisa. Not three times a day, but at least once a day the Rambam holds yechayev to daven. The Rambam also holds that facing the Mokom HaMikdash is also d'oraisa. If you face the wrong direction, are you yotze? You're yotze, b'dieved. Even though mid'oraisa, according to the Rambam, you have to face Yerushalayim. Okay, so we'll continue with this from next week. Oh wait, what's next week?
It's Tuesday.
Oh, I have a wedding next Tuesday.
Mazel tov.
So wait, so maybe. So maybe I'll send out maybe we'll find a different day next week to learn. I don't know. I have to see. I'll let you know.